So it's very simple how to meditate. You just sit down, close your eyes and shut up. Okay, let's begin. But it's very hard to be able to, you can shut this up, but shutting what's in between your ears, that's very hard to shut up. Even though it's a lot of rubbish goes on in there. I know, I was just taught a retreat over in China Grove, and some people were very scared of powerful senior monks. They were scared that because of all the meditation we've done, that we can read minds. I can tell your partner what you've been up to. No, but don't worry, because once you've read a couple of minds, you never want to read them again. It's a lot of rubbish. So your minds aren't worth reading. No, so we don't do things like that. You've got to read your own mind. To read your own mind means just being aware of what goes on inside. But in order to get that mindfulness, that awareness of what's going on inside of you, we have to start by getting some mindfulness and awareness of what's going on even in your body. And so many people are not very aware of their body at all. When my teacher in Thailand years ago saw me with all these cuts and bruises on my feet, he said that I have got stupid feet. That's a wonderful thing to say, stupid feet, because I did have stupid feet. I was thinking up here, my brain was pretty smart, but my feet, my hands were very stupid, because you weren't aware of what was going on. So here in the meditation, we start by getting wisdom and awareness in our own body. We learn how to feel it. Now I'm going to give you a little exercise to show what I mean. Very easy, because this is getting you involved instead of falling asleep or fantasizing or whatever. Because somebody once said, this was actually reported by the Psychology Journal, when somebody's giving a speech, 90% of people are thinking sexual fantasies. To stop you doing that, I've got to get you involved. So I want you now to fidget. Get your bottom and your back into a more comfortable position. There we go. Make it more comfortable. Now what you'd just been doing was a bit of mindfulness. Are you more comfortable now? Because you're feeling the position of your body. You can compare it to what it was before you fidgeted. Now is it any better? If it's not better, then fidget it back again. That is kindness. Trying to find the best possible position for your body. And not just assuming, not taking it for granted, but really caring to find out the best position for your body. That is awareness and kindness in action. So what we do when we start meditating, we do close our eyes. When your eyes are closed, you've got more space in your brain to feel your body. Now you're listening and you're looking. It means there's hardly any space left because you're distracted. But once your eyes are closed and there's not much being said, then you have this full awareness of your body. You can feel much more what's going on. So you start off by being aware of how comfortable are you. And see if you can make yourself more comfortable. Now you can move your bottom. You can sitting on a chair. Sometimes a chair is too high for you, so you need to put something under your feet. Like Maitra's got cushions underneath her feet. It raises her legs up to make it more comfortable. If you're a tall guy, you can put cushions under your bottom to raise that up so the legs, you know, are a bit longer. You can actually use all sorts of cushions this way or that way in order for you to have a more comfortable meditation position. And if you're always very sleepy and you meditate, you start leaning forward. We've even got meditation chairs with seat belts on, so you'll never fall off. And for those who have lots of sleepiness, we even got a little electric charger. I can press a button to make sure that you don't get too far asleep. Now, so you find the most perfect position for yourself. And simple things like, do you need to stretch your back up or lean back against the chair? What's the best for you? A bit to the left, a bit to the right? Don't assume that you know the best position. Find it out for yourself by closing your eyes and being aware, which is the best, and moving this way and that way. Even little things like your head, move it to the left or the right, up and down, until you find the best position for your head. And even your hands, you should put it on your knees, on your lap, on your head, I don't care where you put them, as long as they're comfortable. You find out what's the most comfortable position. This is basic mindfulness, awareness of how you are feeling. Are you comfortable? And don't just look at the books to see what some idiot says is the best position for your body. Because it doesn't work that way. You have to find out for yourself. You be aware and even experiment, a bit of trial and error, moving backwards and forwards, until you find the best position for yourself. And that's the first bit of mindfulness and kindness. But you can only go so far with this. And soon, moving any position of the body doesn't really change anything. So now you go to the next level of mindfulness and kindness, which I always think is the most fascinating, because it really works on such a very deep level. This is even just starting to scratch the surface of meditation, but it has immense results. I'm not sure I said this last time I was here, but about 5-6 weeks ago I got an email from a lady over in Eastern Europe. She'd been listening to my instructions on YouTube. She said, it's a wonderful email, thank you so much. I tried your method of meditation. Before, I had severe arthritis. I had so many medications, they were having huge side effects, but I had to take them to get through the day. After doing your meditation, not only I don't need any more medications, the arthritis is gone. I've never heard that before, to overcome arthritis with this type of meditation. But I understand it probably does work. So listen very carefully. So what you do next, you've got your body pretty comfortable. By the way, it's not guaranteed. You can't ask for your money back if it doesn't work after 1 week. But it helps with some people. So what you do, you sit down, you've got yourself reasonably comfortable by movement, and there'll always be one part of your body which is still hurting, or tense, or irritating. There always is. So what you now do is you zoom into it, like on Google Maps. You focus on it. So you just can feel that irritation. You're mindful of it, aware of it. Fill all of your conscious space just with that feeling. Just for a few minutes. So if it's painful, just endure for a few minutes, because once you're aware of it, you will notice that it changes. Sometimes it gets more intense, sometimes it lessens off, it becomes more at ease. Because what you're really mindful of is the tension or the comfort of that part of the body. How relaxed it is or how tight it is. And see what you need to do to relax that tightness in your body. To ease off the pain, ease off the irritation. Sometimes that just takes a bit of trial and error, trying this, trying that. But in your mind. Because you'll find out when you're afraid, when you try and control things, when you're worried about something, it tends to get more tense. And the irritation, the pain gets worse. But if you can do a bit of like kindness, a bit of letting things be, a bit of just being with it, it's not that bad. And if you can just allow it to be, open your heart to that feeling, be kind to it, be gentle with it, you will find that the feeling of irritation or tightness eases off a little bit. It hurts less. It's less tight. You can even do little imaginary exercises, like I've been teaching. Imagine that part of your body is like a rope which is being stretched at both ends by two imaginary monsters, if you like. And you let go of both ends and allow the rope to be loose. Or you can feel like something's pressing, on that part of the body, squashing it, and you allow it to just no pressure at all. Take away the sort of the force on that part of the body. Let it expand, let it come loose. And then you actually find that the irritation, the pain gets less. You're mindful, aware of the feeling, experimenting with how that feeling can become more comfortable. It's called learning. And soon actually you learn how to relax parts of the body. Just by will. You can have like an arthritis pain. And by, it takes a long time, a lot of skill, but if you're really in trouble, you have to do it. And it's amazing how much you can do when you really have to. You can actually feel just the pain in the joints. What makes it worse? What makes it better? Only a little bit at first, but that's helping. And after a few weeks, you can actually relax that feeling until the pain is, you know, almost gone. At least that lady did that. I've done that with other little things. And this is actually the way that you can actually relax these feelings away. When I was away, I was in Korea, and big conference, you know, the TV and everything were there. And in the morning when I woke up, it was minus 15 degrees. I just come from 42 degrees in Perth. Yeah. Minus 15 degrees in Korea. And I started sneezing and coughing. It was a cold. And I was going to be on TV and big interviews and what else was there? Interviews and debates with other senior famous monks and other things. And I had to perform. Oh my goodness. If you sneeze during a TV talk, you'll be in big trouble. Do they do that on the news? And now we've got to... now we've got to... Excuse me a minute. Have you ever seen that happen on the 6 o'clock news? No, because you have to sort of stop all that stuff. So I didn't have any medication, so I did my meditation. Much better medication. Just feel the irritation in your nose, you know, which is wanting to sneeze. Meditate on it. Be fully aware of it and learn how to make that irritation which wants to make you sneeze just less and less and less and less and less and less. Half of that was all gone. That was the end of a cold. So that's actually how I deal with these things. So I can be pretty healthy. You have to perform. So this is what you can do. Aware and find out how you can lessen that irritation, that pain, that cough or whatever. And this is serious stuff. When I was in Hong Kong, I was teaching this to a group of medical professors at Prince of Wales Hospital in Hong Kong. And they were really interested in one of these guys, a research professor. You know, he was very fascinated and wanted to do some research on this. Starting off something which is great for people in hospitals with all types of sicknesses. Because this is actually cutting-edge stuff you're hearing here. You hear it in Armidale first. Then it's researched in the best hospitals of the world. And then you have to pay for it later on when it becomes mainstream. So you get it the best. This is cutting edge and cheap. So you can actually relax your whole body. And you don't stop until that part of the body feels really at ease and peaceful, really comfortable. And then you go to another part of the body which is tense and do the same thing, mindfulness and kindness, and really relax that body. And you don't stop until your whole body feels incredibly loose and relaxed. Just like you've, you know, been on a holiday to Bali, all expenses paid, and just been laying on these recliners on the beach all day, not a care in the world, and your body feels just so loose. I just had it massaged, or been into a spa, and which cost a lot of money. You get it for free here, and it's much better, much deeper as well. Your body feels just so good and relaxed. Because you're mindful and you can relax every part of your body. Now there's an interesting part of this, which is, for those of you who've been here a long time, who take meditation much deeper, when the body gets that relaxed, it feels very delightful. It's actually very pleasurable to have a body which is so at ease. Maybe like when you wake up on a Sunday morning and, you know, you're not my age, so you have to get up and go to the toilet, that you can just lay in bed there and you feel really cozy. Remember those days you just lay in there, you just don't want to get up because you're nice and warm and every part of the body is nice and relaxed and loose. That type of feeling is very delightful. And the interesting thing is once you're mindful of that delightful feeling of relaxation, your body gets more relaxed. It goes even deeper into relaxation. So you feel that delight. Body feels really good, and your body really relaxed much, much more. By learning this, practicing this, you're doing mindfulness and kindness, and at the very least, that's going to make you a really healthy body. and you'll be able to overcome many of the sicknesses in our modern world, such as cancer and heart disease and all these things, which is arthritis and other stuff, which really affect people in today's world. So I do every year, twice a year, go to the Cancer Wellness Association. They're having Connors, so they came to the monastery once a year as well to teach them this, actually to lessen these terrible things which happen to people, let alone the emotional problems, because a lot of emotional problems, traumas, terrible things which have happened to you in your life, they're stuck in your body, and it feels like there's a little tension, tightness in the body, fear, anxiety, whatever, and then forget about what's happening in the mind, focus on your body, on the feeling in your body, and relax that part of the body. And once that part of the emotional trauma has been fixed, the emotional trauma fixes itself afterwards, actually at the same time. It's a wonderful way of dealing with things like anxiety and fear. Feel it in the body, relax it until it totally goes away, and your anxiety, your fear, your grief, your anger also disappears. It's a great way of actually learning to be at peace. I was going to say control your emotions. It's a type of control, but I just don't like that word, control. You're actually letting it be and allowing it to all settle down by this awareness of the body. Brilliant technique. But it's also, to get into the meditation proper, is actually once your body, that's actually pretty good meditation as it is, once you get into the body's nice and relaxed, then you can go into your emotional world. In your mind, be mindful, but be mindful of what? And for years that people talk about being mindful of the breath and stuff, but too soon. Just like you are feeling how comfortable your body is, whether you have to move it, to scratch it, to cough it or whatever, or just to relax it from inside. How peaceful is your mind? Because sometimes we're agitated. And because we're agitated, worried, have a really difficult day, or face big problems tomorrow, our mind is very, very agitated. Imagine it like a big lake of water. And you've got so agitated, big waves all over the place. Those waves are your thoughts, your fears. And those are not really the problem, they're the symptoms of an agitated mind. So go to the core. Forget about trying to stop the thoughts or trying to be in the present moment. That will come naturally once you start to settle down. So feel, how agitated are you emotionally, or how peaceful are you? See if you can be mindful of that. I compare that to, in your car you have so many dials on your dashboard. Now, speedometer is the most important one, because if you go too fast, you get pinged by the police, and that's really expensive. So, you're aware of the speedometer, and you notice that if you push your foot too hard on the accelerator, that needle goes one way. You release the tension on the, or the pressure on the accelerator, it goes the other way. You get feedback. You know how much pressure to put on the accelerator to keep that speed just to the right level. Now this is that dial in your mind called your peace or agitation indicator. Feel just how agitated, how peaceful you are. And what you need to do to move that indicator to more and more peace, more relaxed, so your mind isn't so wobbly or so agitated. And you know what you find? It's the same thing which relaxes your body. Letting things be. Taking away the tension. Taking the pressure off yourself to be like this and to be like that. For goodness sake, allow yourself to be. I got a call yesterday from this fellow in the United States. Listen to my talks. You get free counseling being a Buddhist monk, and it's good stuff as well. And he said he was really worried if we should take a new job, because that would mean, I know, where we should have kids, had a busy job, and he wanted to be a perfect dad. I straight away saw his problem. Look, don't try to be a perfect dad. Be a good dad. And the two are totally different. Don't try and be perfect. It is impossible. And if you try and be perfect, you'll be a pain in the ass to yourself and all the people you live with. Be a good dad, which is a totally different thing than being perfect. You really got it straight away. Oh, that's, yeah, I understand that now. Same with you meditating. Don't be a perfect meditator, but be a good meditator. So you got a mind here, just be a, have a good mind. Don't try and make it perfect. So don't put pressure on yourself. Because if you put pressure on yourself, trying to live up to something, trying to be somebody, trying to get rid of things you don't like, you find that makes your mind more agitated. It creates more thoughts, it doesn't stop them. So, find out, because you're mindful of, you know, how agitated or how peaceful your mind is, what makes your mind more peaceful? What makes it more agitated? Once you learn that, a bit of trial and error, and learning again, you soon learn how just to let things be. And just to be kind to your mind. If you're, something's happened, anybody in that same situation went through what you would, they'd be much worse. So give yourself a break. Let yourself be. Be kind. There, it's okay. And then you find your agitation gets less. You feel more at peace inside. Your needle is going the right direction. And you continue with that, whatever that is which relaxes your mind. And soon you find all the thoughts which were bothering you, all the waves on the lake, are getting less and less and less until there are hardly any waves left. And all that stuff about past and future, you find you naturally, you're here in the present moment because you're relaxed, you're at peace. Because what we're trying to get here in the Armadillo group, we're not trying to get psychic power to reading people's minds. We're not trying to sort of get enlightened. We're trying to find peace. So make peace of mind your main object from the beginning. What makes you more peaceful? What makes you more agitated? Focus on that and see if you can actually feel that. Until you get so peaceful, it's so delightful. At last, you're sitting here without a care in the world. Oh, it's a shame it doesn't last only for half an hour, but you're having a wonderful holiday from all the worries and turmoils of life. Just at peace with things, not trying to do anything. What I say when I do travel around a lot to all these big cities in the world, it's very rare these days to see a human being. I've been to like Seoul, it's a huge city. You've been to New York, to London, Hong Kong, Singapore, Bangkok. It's very rare to see a human being in Bangkok these days. I see many human going somewhere. Many humans doing things. But actually being here? No. They're always going somewhere. So, when you're meditating, you're not going anywhere. You're not doing anything. You're a human being again. Just being here. And see what it's like just to be here. Not trying to get to enlightenment. Not trying to do meditation. But being a human being. Relaxing. And then it's like your mind is sitting on a beach in Bali having a wonderful time. And it deserves it. It's relaxed. It's peaceful. And now you know what meditation is. And how easy it is. How delightful it is. And once it gets delightful, then you're away. Enjoy it. Because once you start seeing how delightful peace can be, the peace grows and grows and grows. You have the time of your life. So easy. Okay, I went over 5 minutes, boss. Are you going to fine me for that? Okay, fine me, okay. Okay, so we can now do some meditation. So before we do any meditation, out of kindness and compassion to your old bodies, and some of you are getting way over the hill. I've been, how long have you been coming here, some of you? Anyway, stand up, stretch. You're allowed to groan and moan. Now once you've finished groaning and moaning, please go and sit down.
Okay.
Yes, I can just about, oh, not now. Oh yeah, okay. Yes, good enough.
That's probably why they went for 1 hour last week. They couldn't see the clock.
Uh-huh.
Not their fault. Okay, so here we go. Sitting here, close your eyes. I will lead the meditation for the first 10 or 20 minutes, and then I will let you be. So, first of all, closing your eyes. And that's what I said before, fidget. Even if you think you're comfortable, still fidget. So really, be meticulous, trying to find the most comfortable position for your body. Make sure there's no tight pieces of clothing. My robe is a bit tight next to my legs, so I'm loosening it off. Make sure your bottom is comfortable. This is not the military, it's not school, so you're allowed to fidget. You won't be sent to the naughty corner if you do. Even how's your back? Do you want to lean it back, lean it forward to the left or right? Try and find the most comfortable position. Because this is developing awareness with the kindness. Two together. Until you find the most comfortable position for your back and your shoulders. Sometimes I like to scrunch them up as tight as I can and then let them loose. Great way to relax them. It works for me. Your hands? Where are your hands now? Are they comfortable there or do you want to move them a bit? Does that help? Mindfulness gives you feedback. The kindness doesn't stop until you find the most comfortable position. And even be aware of the muscles on your face. Especially around your eyes and your mouth. Because they are a great indicator of tension, fear, anxiety. So feel the muscles around the eyes and the mouth and keep them as loose as possible. So you're not putting force on your face. They're just closed but not closed tightly. Look at your whole body now. Just be aware of how comfortable your body is. Can you still make it more comfortable by moving something? Or by coughing or scratching? I always say that in this type of meditation, we always close our eyes. So if you want to put your finger in your ear, or up your nose to scratch it, you can. No one is watching you. You are free to be human. Get yourself comfortable. At any time during the meditation you feel you need to move, please do so. Kindness is more important than the discipline. So once the body is, you think, is as comfortable as it can get through movement, now see if you can make it more comfortable through this mindfulness and kindness. Can you be aware of that part of the body which is aching, irritating, or just in pain? There's always one part of the body which is not relaxed, usually many parts. See if you can zoom in onto that part of the body. Zoom in until you can feel the irritation, the ache, the pain as much as you can. Stay with it for a few seconds. See if you can notice that irritation, pain, or ache changing, By which I mean it gets more tense, more painful, or it releases its irritation. It gets more relaxed, more at ease. See if you can make the connection between the attitude in your mind and the pain, irritation, tension in your body. Experiment. Trial and error will soon teach you that when you let things be, the ache, the pain gets less. You have this beautiful kindness, just like you may have to a child or a niece, a nephew, or to a cat or a dog which you love dearly. When you have that kindness towards that single part of your body which you're zooming into, that part of the body relaxes. The mindfulness is aware of that feeling in the body. And the kindness, the letting it be, relaxes it. Stay with that feeling in the body. This is a really important training which will keep you in good health once you learn it properly. Stay with the irritation, the ache, the pain, until you can feel it lessen. Can you imagine that someone's putting pressure, squashing that part of your body? You can imagine it being in a vice, and then you loosen the pressure of the vice. Take all the force off that part of your body. Let it relax and be open and easy. Maybe that might help you notice the irritation or ache get less. Don't ask for much at the beginning, just a tiny bit less shows it actually works. You keep on going. Going and relaxing that part of the body as much as you can. That's all you're doing, aware of that part of the body, zooming in with your mindfulness. Relaxing it. Even if it's not really an ache or a pain, but it feels unbalanced or not normal or it needs some attention. Just focus on that part of the body which you know is not relaxed for some reason. Being aware of it allows you to have feedback, and soon you learn how to relax it. Some parts of my body do feel like they're under strain, that they're being pulled at both ends. And I imagine letting go of both ends of that part of the body. Letting my arm become loose. Relaxed at ease. And I can feel that part of my body relaxing. Start to feel pleasant. So what other part of your body is still tense or irritating? It's not fully relaxed yet. You may have a headache. It works really well for headaches. Focus on that tension, that tightness, that throb or whatever you have. What makes that feeling less? What makes it worse? Like watching the dial on your car, you soon learn how to adjust speed. What you're aware of is how comfortable your body is and how to relax it. And relax it and relax it. body gets really relaxed. I describe that feeling like a tingle, this beautiful, cozy feeling, the body just being so open, so relaxed, and so free. It is like I've just been laying in bed for a couple of hours. Not any tightness or tension anywhere in my body. If there is still a tightness anywhere, it could be the residue from some difficult experience you've endured. Because when you had that experience, your body tightened. It hasn't loosened yet. So feel that part of the body which is tight. You don't have to attach it to the experience. The experience can disappear without you even knowing what it was. You feel a tightness in your body, maybe in your legs. Feel that. Be so aware you get to know it really well. Learn how to relax it, to take a tight, tense feeling and loosen it, bring it to a state of ease, free of that irritation. If you try and control things, that part of the body gets more tense and tight. If you're afraid, again, put pressure on it. But if you learn how to let it be, open the door of your heart to that feeling in the body. Embrace it. Become a friend to it. All these beautiful words which mean the same. Let it be. Be kind. Then you feel that part of the body relaxing. It's also a great technique to use if you have insomnia. You relax your body. Don't try to go to sleep, just relax the body. So your body feels really loose and comfortable. Because of time constraints, I'm now going to just assume you can do this for half an hour or even longer. I'm now going to assume that your body is reasonably calm now. So you can go onto your emotional world, the world of your mind. So now I'm going to ask you to be aware, to be mindful of how agitated your mind is or how peaceful it is. To see if you can notice what I call the peace of mind meter. How content are you? Or how troubled? It's all the same meter using different words. Right now, it's like your lake, your mind. It's got so many waves in it. See how you can just relax and let your mind become more peaceful. Zoom in to your mind, how peaceful or how agitated it is. See if you can learn what makes it more peaceful. Trying to get something, go somewhere, get rid of things. Just makes your mind more tense. Letting it be. It's like taking off the pressure. Not pulling the mind like you pull a rope. That makes tension. Not pulling. Not dragging back into the past. Not putting any pressure on anything. No goals. No fear of being judged. Letting yourself be. Not being perfect, just being good. All those things. Relax your mind. You can feel mind getting stronger. You're getting feedback. What makes peace of mind deeper, stronger? What makes you more agitated? Whatever makes you more agitated, stop that. Whatever makes you more peaceful, carry on. Peaceful are you now? See if you can make yourself more peaceful. Letting this moment be. No judging. No goals. Not solving any problems. Do that later. Now's the time for peace. If you have some peace of mind, what does that feel like? How pleasant is this? Noticing the pleasure of a peaceful mind is a delightful feeling. Takes you deeper into peace. It makes you more content. Beautifully peaceful. Just in this moment. Keep the mindfulness on how peaceful you are, on the peace of mind meter. Because every now and again something will try to agitate you. The meter will go a bit too far in the opposite direction. Like sometimes you find yourself going too fast in the car. Take off the pressure off the accelerator. Slow down. Slow the mind down. Feel just how the mind gets slower and slower, more and more peaceful. And the thoughts, which were once so strong, now become very light. Just like storm clouds now become just white fluffy clouds, just passing through the summer sky. Everything in the mind so light, so free, peaceful, because you're developing peace of mind. Some meditators, they find at this point they need something to do, something to focus on, otherwise they'll just go wandering off again. So those of you who want to just start focusing on your breathing, sometimes your breath just comes to you. You just notice it. Just focusing on your breath, breathing in and breathing out. But do it very peacefully so it never disturbs the peace of mind. So just breathing in, mind stronger. Breathing out, letting go of any irritations, any fears, any sickness. Breathing in peace. Breathe out, let go. You can even say that to yourself as you're breathing in. Breathe in peace. Now, say let go. At the same time, enjoy the sense of peace, the inner calm, the quiet. Just like you may be in the bush, thousands of miles away. No problems, no troubles. You're in some nice mountain cave in a monastery, far away from all that troubles and concerns you. You deserve this peace. You can feel that peace of mind. You breathe in more of it as you breathe in, breathing in peace. Breathe out, let go. Feedback from mindfulness tells you really are relaxing, physically and emotionally. Position for your body and the most comfortable, peaceful position for your mind. Relaxing to the max. Being aware of the peace of mind indicator. As you learn every time how be more peaceful. I'm now going to be quiet for the next 10 minutes before I ring the bell. perfectly relaxed body, the mind gets into more and more peace. I will now ring the gong 3 times to end the meditation. After the gong's finished ringing for the 3rd time, then you may open your eyes to come out.
Good.
How would that go?
Very good.
I think it will set us
free. Overwhelming desire to fall asleep.
To what?
Fall asleep.
Fall asleep, yeah, that's the thing. If you ever have trouble falling asleep at night, then when you're in your bed, try to meditate. And then you'll fall asleep. If you want to sort of stay awake with meditating, then try to meditate. Try to fall asleep. And then you stay awake. Okay, usually at this time we have questions, first of all, in the box. See what we've got here. We've got a question? Oh, 2 questions. Which one will be the lucky one? Or lucky 2? Very good, okay, whichever. And the first lucky question will be it is. Can you offer any tips for meditating through pain, please? I've already done that.
Yeah.
Easy. And look, honestly, it does work. Because you've got to do personal stuff, because that's what happens. The worst pains I had 2 or 3 years ago was, what's it called, food poisoning. I told a story before, but it's incredible story, because I can remember this. I was in my cave where I live in a cave, and having food poisoning. You know that Buddhist monks, we eat whatever you give us, and so sometimes you don't give us the right stuff, so it might be sort of something which is a bit dirty or a bit off or your body doesn't like. So having a bit of indigestion is for a monk or a nun is what we call an occupational hazard. You have to deal with that. But when it's food poisoning, that's another category. And if you've ever had food poisoning before, you get these cramps in your guts, which are agonizing. You're sitting there, Now, whenever you give a talk in Armidale, I try and teach the monks to make it dramatic. Because when it's dramatic, people actually pay attention. That's good fun also. So that's what it was like. Actually worse than that, because I can't act that well. So there I was, screaming in my cave. And of course, you realise, you're in trouble. This is real food poisoning. It's not a joke anymore. And you can't stop it. It's just automatic. Involuntary, that's the word I was looking for. Involuntary spasms, which are really painful. So the next thought, let's crawl outside and call an ambulance. But if you live down in Serpentine, by the time the ambulance gets from Armidale, you'll be dead by then, so it's a waste of time. Actually, no, but, you know, there's another way of dealing with this before an ambulance could come. And that was exactly what I've taught you. You know, you felt this terrible pain in your gut and the spasms of it. Mindful of it. Feel it. Zoom in on it. And then, look at the attitude of your mind. The way that the mind and the body actually connects. And you soon notice, if you're afraid, I don't want this anymore, that makes you more tense. It makes it more painful. But when you just let it be, just open, it's the body doing its thing. You're not afraid of it, you actually just allow it to happen. And it's not so painful anymore. And so, I kept on doing that. Less painful, less painful, less painful. And only just increments, slightly a little bit less pain. But I continued on that for 20 minutes. And after 20 minutes, there was no pain left at all. Not even an ache. The food poisoning had totally vanished. Which was weird afterwards. But, you know, there it was. I was very happy. I didn't know why it vanished. Who cares if it's vanished? That's good enough for me. But then I often thought afterwards what had happened. Because I know enough about science. That food poisoning is caused by bacteria messing around in your intestines or your colon or something. It's real physical stuff. You can see it under a microscope. So I wonder, how come that they're not causing any trouble anymore? And I got this great insight. Because the last time I saw bacteria under a microscope, there's little blobs with all these tentacles coming out. And I thought, oh yeah, all these blobs, they had all their tentacles all cross-legged in meditation. So all the little bacteria were meditating peacefully. That's why they weren't causing any trouble anymore. So I visualized all these meditating bacteria, millions of them. I don't know why, but it's a nice visualization. And there we go. But it wasn't causing me any trouble. Totally gone in 20 minutes. And really, you know, very tough pain to no pain at all. And I told you about that person with arthritis. So you can actually take pain and actually you can relax it and relax it and relax it and relax it. This is also taught, maybe most of you are a bit old for this, people having childbirth. So actually, number one with childbirth, don't call it pain. As soon as you call it pain, straight away, ooh, pain. So we call it these days labour energy. It's beautiful energy flowing through your body, powerful stuff. And just surf those waves, don't fight them. The attitude of the mind to the pain makes all the difference. And this is actually what many of you may have remembered, the way you think about it. That's why doctors or dentists, when they come up to you, say, oh, this is going to hurt. Thank you very much, doctor. That's the last thing you should say. Because that makes you think it's pain. This is a terrible thing. So instead of saying it's going to hurt, oh, this is just like a feather tickling you. Ow! Okay, it didn't hurt that much. But if you told it before, it hurts much more. So that is actually how you can deal with pain. Don't run away from it, otherwise it's got control of you. You have to be with it. And once you're with it, be with it, the next thing to do is to learn how the attitude of mind interferes with the intensity of that pain. And you can soon learn how the way you look at the pain can affect just how difficult it is to bear. And with a little bit of practice, and it's worth the practice because the pain you have now is going to come back again, maybe get worse in your life. Learn it now and it becomes a great skill in the future. That you know, when you have pain and the painkillers can't work, which often is the case unfortunately, you know how you can let it be. Be kind to it. The kindness is the other thing, because, again, old story, I do remember, I grew up in London, a poor family, and I spent a lot of my childhood playing soccer in the streets. If you play soccer, you know, in the lawns or gardens or somewhere, when you go for a tackle, you slide on the grass. It's quite safe. But if you fall over on the pavement, which is stone, or on the asphalt, it's hard, and you cut yourself. I always was scraping the skin off my knees. And honestly, I do remember my childhood always having scabs on my knees. No dried blood. But every time that you know, it's boys being boys, you got used to it after a while, but every time I fell over and cut myself and the blood started coming out, I'd run to my mother. And my mother would kneel down and kiss it. She called it kissing it better. And it worked every time. She put her mouth full of germs on the open wound. It never got infected. But what happened was it took all the pain away. Every time. And it was weird. But I thought that was natural. Because you didn't know anything better as a 5-6-year-old kid. But now I look back upon that and just how kindness, how love, especially a mother's love to a little kid, took all the pain away. And something clicked later on in my life that maybe you don't have a mother left to kiss your wounds, but you have yourself. And you can give that same kindness and kiss any pain better, metaphorically. Just that beautiful kindness. The pain gets so much less. And that's actually how you can deal with unendurable pain sometimes. If you understand what I mean, kiss it better, be kind to it. Open the door of your heart to it, let it be. And it's amazing just how powerful that is. I don't know why it works, how it works, but it does work. So if you have unendurable pain, that's what to do. Otherwise, if you do have how to attempt for meditating through pain, the first thing I would do anyway is actually to take a Panadol on that. Do the easy way first. And then maybe later on, you know, if you're skilled enough, you could actually do this meditating through pain, and it really works. Okay, next one. Is that, does anyone want to come back on that one? Because that's an important one, how to meditate with pain. But honestly, they teach this meditation in hospitals, and it works, clinical trials. I don't mind saying this, but the guy who started this was a guy called John Kabat-Zinn. Now, what is it, mindfulness, stress release, basic therapy, or something like that. I don't know what all the jargon is. But I was in Kuala Lumpur a few years ago, giving talks, and this really rich guy came up, you know, one of these billionaire's sons. And like many rich kids, had all sorts of emotional problems, anxieties, depression. Don't think that being the son or daughter of a rich kid is a passage to heaven. A huge amount of problems these people have. So when he had all his anxiety and depression and stuff, what he did was go to this Mayo Clinic in Cleveland, Ohio, where all of these film stars and pop stars and really rich people go. And so he had a personal interview session with John Kabat-Zinn. And when he came back to Kuala Lumpur, he said, I just couldn't believe this. All of those therapists, they were all Buddhists, every single one of them. And they were teaching exactly the same as you teach here in Kuala Lumpur. The only difference is your teachings are better, and it's also yours are free. I had to pay a fortune for these guys. I mean, really big bucks. He said, I'm really stupid. I had it at home. Come and see you, and for nothing. And it's true. So all of this therapy, which you know people pay millions of dollars for, you get it from Armadale Group, and it really is, you know, top class. You know, I'm the guy who changes these people's ways of looking at things. It just takes it to a new level. So that's actually through pain. Listen to it here, and you get the very best, and it works. And he was the one who started it all off because he wanted to give it a bit more oomph by getting scientists to experiment with this, and found out pain reduction in the hospitals. And that's one of his first big breakthroughs, that this meditation works. And people, they don't feel so much pain. And it's not a big problem, where it should be. And doctors and nurses are really surprised. You should be screaming, but you're not. Yeah, exactly. So it does actually work. Of course, you have to keep practicing it. The mindfulness, the learning how to relax things. It's like anything else you learn. Practice means you get skilled at this. So you just take any part of the body which is really tense and relax it so quickly. I've been doing this for years, so I'm good at this. Next one. How to deal with bullies and harassment, i.e. in the workplace, by the employer. Bullies. Now, first of all, bullying will always happen where there are hierarchies. When someone has one more power than the other person, then always there'll be some people abuse that power structure. It's one of the reasons I've been trying to tell government officials, please, schools, don't have too big an age range in one school. Because you've got big kids, they're more powerful, bigger bodies. They will pick up on the small kids. That's all there is, the hierarchy of power will always allow bullying to happen somewhere. The same even in companies. In places like Google, I gave a talk there a year and a half ago, in the headquarters over in San Francisco. They're trying to have flat management, where people don't have too much power over others. Because if you have a boss, and he or she has that power, it's opening the door to the possibility of bullying. And so, yeah, we can put many other strategies in place, but the underlying reason is power structures. Someone has more authority, more power than somebody else. And of course, sometimes they will abuse that. So that's the first way to overcome bullying, is that structural change. And obviously, number two is you have to make it not in the person's, not make it worthwhile for the person to exert any extra power which they do have over you. Which is why there has to be reporting structures. And it has to be a way that many people are afraid of reporting your boss because you get sacked. So there has to be some sort of anonymity to be able to report something. And that's also very important, to have the anonymity so you feel that you're safe if you report a bully. So if we can have, in your workplace, anonymous. But also you've got to prove it. You find usually that this is a bully in the office. They don't just bully you. They bully a lot of people. So one way of dealing with that is actually talk to other people in the same position in your company. Get to know them and see if there is actually a real problem there. They're not just picking on you, but they pick on several people, because that's what a bully does. They just bully on many, many people. And if that is the case, they're bullying on many people, get the people together. And when it's many people complain, then you don't feel so vulnerable. You've got backup. And it's not that you've got something against your boss. It's many people. It gives it more legitimacy. But even better than that these days. These days you've got things called smartphones. So what you can do is when the bully starts bullying you, turn on your smartphone. Record it, video it. Because that's the other thing. People who are bullies, if they're confronted, say, no, I'm not bullying. You just needed to be told. Because they don't see it. So if they don't see it, while you can play it back to the big boss, or sometimes even playing it back to them. So this is what you sound like. This is how you act. You know, it's really amazing that a lot of people don't realise what they're doing. And they refuse to admit it. Because they don't see it. This is actually what we call like mindfulness, is being aware of what you're doing. But sometimes people are just so unaware of themselves. They don't know what they're doing. So actually, getting that recorded and playing it back to them sometimes is a wonderful way of just feedback. Look, this is actually what you look like. This is actually how you treat me. And you actually be surprised that people would be flabbergasted. Wow, I never realised that's how I came across. This actually comes because I was a school teacher before I became a monk. I often say that being a school teacher for 1 year is enough to make anyone want to become a monk, especially high school. Ooh. Anyway, that's why I became bald. Got my hair up. I was traumatised. But no. But before, when I was doing some teaching practice, this was 1970-something, 2 or 3, and they did one of the most amazing things which happened was we all had to, all the students had to teach a 5-minute class to our friends, but it was videoed. And that was the first time in my life I could see myself as other people saw me. Because, you know, this was the days before you had videos. And that was amazing, they actually see yourself teach. And the reason why they did this is because if you have any idiosyncrasy, any little twitch somewhere, you better see it first before your students see it. Because if your students see it, in 5 minutes they'll always be going in the class. So it's a way that trained to be a teacher to make sure that you see how other people see you. So actually you can avoid a lot of problems that way. I know that did happen to me once. I had hay fever. I had a cold. I should have actually stayed at home. But, you know, I was trying to teach a class. And I really put in my effort into teaching. I'm trying to do the best. And I was sniffing. after 2 minutes, 30 kids were looking at me going, really cruel. But it was calm because I used to do the same to my teachers. So getting some feedback is very helpful. And the smartphone makes it very easy for you to do that. So, and of course, if that doesn't work, you know, comes a time when you say that this is wrong, because it's actually bad for your physical and emotional health. And some of those bullies in school, on the internet, and in workplace are just so gross, they drive a person even to suicide sometimes. And it has happened. So if there's really big bullies like that, then they need to have some treatment. So you have to go to the big boss. If not the big boss, then actually go to the union or somebody. I think there must be some bullying hotlines. But another way as well. Because there was one of my friends, a Sri Lankan man, a few Sri Lankans here, I won't say who he is, they're not sitting here this evening. He once told me that he was working in the, I think, the Department of Minerals and Energy, some many years ago, so I don't mind saying it now. And his boss, his immediate boss, was a real B-A-S-T-A-R-D, a boss from hell, the worst possible type of bosses. Always come and tell you to do what's impossible to do in an impossible amount of time. And even if you tried really hard to do it for him, he'd look at it, that's not good enough, too late. Never ever praising you, never encouraging you, always criticizing, always shouting you, belittling you, making you feel like, you know, your little mouse who's got rabies and to be put down or whatever. Does mice have rabies? I don't know, but anyway, I'm just making it up as I go along. They do, okay. But making you feel really so insignificant and just a blight on the planet Earth. But anyway, this boss changed within 3 months. Totally altered. And this Sri Lankan disciple, he said, what? He couldn't help but actually make the comment. He said, look, boss, you know, what have you been doing? Because you changed. If you don't mind me saying, I can say this now, but you're just so difficult to work with 3 months ago, and now you're just so peaceful and so, actually, I don't mind working for you, and I can actually work harder for you now because you're treating me, you know, with respect. But don't mind me, what have you been doing? And the boss said, no, this Australian guy, maybe in the 50s, he said, oh, I found this really, really nice Buddhist temple in Nolla Mara. And I've been going there to meditate regularly. Yes, right, and this Sri Lankan guy said, that's my temple, but he never goes there. He just goes there for Waisak and to give dana. He never actually bothers to learn what's actually taught there. And it was amazing. This guy saw in the space of 3 months, the boss changed completely just by learning a bit of meditation. So, the other alternative, you've got a boss at work, get a collection together and sponsor him to come on one of our retreats. At the very least, you've got rid of him for 9 days. Or her. I can't be gender specific. And he might actually learn something. Because a lot of times, bosses, the reason they're bullying, either don't know what they're doing, it's not the best way to run a company, it's so not in the last century, 19th century, 1800s way of dealing with a company. It's not the way that companies work these days, if they're going to be successful. As Rachel knows, she teaches at companies. So they do need to change their ways. And it's harmful for everybody, and it must mean they're suffering a lot. Remember, it's one of the things the Dalai Lama once said. He said, if you're with a person like that, and they're really, really a nasty character, please always keep in mind, you only have to be with them 40 hours a week. They have to be with themselves 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, for the rest of their life. It's a wonderful little way of looking at it. They must be really having a lot of suffering and difficulty in their life. So it makes it a little bit more compassionate. It doesn't solve the problem, so but at least it puts in a bit of perspective. So see if you can deal with it. And lastly, 2 minutes to go, lastly, remember that if you go to work, they pay you a salary. And that is a bribe to put up with these bosses. if there were really nice bosses and if you really enjoyed your work, they wouldn't need to pay you. So salary is a bribe for doing something you'd rather not do. Who would want to actually get up on a Monday morning and go to work? Given a choice, you wouldn't need to do that. You don't do that because you need the money. So remember, that's part of the bribe to put up with bosses from hell. Is that right, Rachel? You're a boss. That's what all bosses say. But I'm a boss too. Tran, am I a nice boss? This is from Monastery. You better say yes, otherwise you're out. I'm not a bully. So anyway, that's some of my... But the most important thing, please, in your companies or in life, can we get rid of the hierarchies of life? Because that's where all bullying starts from. It's nice actually to see there's like primary schools, middle schools, high schools and senior high schools. The more you can actually split up the kids, the better.